Being literate is one of the keys to success in our county. We have one educator in Putnam County Schools today who's doing her part. Vicki Brummett, Putnam County Secondary 9 through 12 Literacy Specialist, joins us today. Welcome.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, appreciate you coming out. I know it's a busy time of year with school starting, so it's probably good to just stop for a second and to be able to just talk about education and not have to work on it.
It is. I came straight here from our first opening day with my English teachers all day long. So it is nice to just sit for a minute.
Yes, and just stop. And so I know that it's always a flurry of activities. There's so many moving parts and things to get ready. And I'm sure that it looks a little bit different in your current role than it did does. When you were a classroom teacher. So tell me a little bit about what you do currently and how you got there.
My job now is to support teachers. I was in the classroom from 1993 on, so that tells you a little bit how old I am and how long I've been doing that. I joined this role in 2019. My role now is to support teachers. When I first heard this position was opening, I wasn't sure I wanted it because I still loved being in the classroom. Sometimes people think that you take another role because you're tired of teaching. I don't think I'll ever be tired of teaching. I think that's who I am as a person. But one of the things that nagged at me was that was the year that we were coming out of COVID, and teachers were being asked to do a lot. We were having to Zoom with students, have some live students. We were dealing with the masks. There was a lot. And honestly, what pushed me to apply was I know that I respect teachers more than anything, and I wanted whoever had that job to have the mindset that I'm here to serve the teachers. And so I thought, well, I know I will. So I went ahead and applied for it, and I was lucky enough to be chosen.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, sometimes parents, you know, from the parental side, you don't quite understand how much support teachers have or need to be successful. You know, you like to think, well, that teacher just goes and closes their door and they do all the planning and they, you know, there's not a support network and there aren't all these people working behind the scenes. And really, especially in elementary now, you have the literacy coaches and the math coaches and the STEM teachers and all these people who are there to help support. And so I'm sure that the role is rewarding, helping teachers improve their practice or troubleshoot. Just to have somebody to bounce ideas off of would be a huge deal.
It really is. And it's the same concept as when you're in a classroom. When you see a teacher realize something on her own because you just asked the good question, that happened today. A teacher, she's very reflective. I adore her. And she was a little disappointed in some of her test scores that came back from the state. And she said, I worked on this with them, Vicki. I worked on them with this all the time. We did outlining. I don't understand why. I helped them with outlining. And I don't know why their focus and organization score was not that great. And she said, I helped them too much. And then she just looked at me and said, I just needed you to stand here, I guess, because that's
just to talk through it.
Yes. And she said, that's what it was. I helped them too much. And then on the test, they had to do it on their own. And I said, well, I'm glad we had this coaching session.
Yeah.
And I didn't even really say anything. I just listened. And so I love those moments when the teacher gets to be the hero for herself.
Mm-hmm.
So that if I give you the answer, then I'm the hero. Mm-hmm. But if I ask you some questions that help you find the answer, then you're the hero. And I love that when they feel good about themselves because I just asked some questions that made them find their own answers.
Mm-hmm.
So
conceptually, it's the same with students.
Yes.
I mean, because you want the students to find their own answers and figure it out without just – because it's so easy, and especially, you know, with a topic where they're struggling, and just say, that's the answer. And, you know, here's
right.
the answer. But, you know, it doesn't help anything. To have that approach.
Right. I actually, there's a new teacher who was just hired this year, and I was helping him when he was doing his student teaching, and that was one of the things that my feedback for him was, stop answering their questions.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's so hard. And I said, yes, it is. But instead of answering, ask them a question back that will help them find the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I say that to teachers a lot, and one of my other teachers who's now been in this her role for like the third year. And she said, I'm getting much better about not answering questions. And I'm like, oh, good. So it sounds counterintuitive. Uh-huh. But when you ask them the question to let them come up with the answer, then the student feels good about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And I think it's the same concept with adults. Instead mm-hmm. of my saying, this is how you need to fix this, I just ask them some questions. And they know it. Sometimes they just have to have someone give them some intentional questioning to make them think it through. So that's mm-hmm. my favorite part.
Mm-hmm. And it is fun. And so it explains some of the role. And I want to get into a little more of the day-to-day, ask you some questions specifically about what your day looks like. But I also want to back up just a little bit and talk about how you got into education. And so explain a little bit about – so you said you weren't from Cookeville, but you've somehow found your way into education. From my role at Tennessee Tech, I'm always trying to get inside the brain of someone who didn't set out to be in education because I want to know who that person is so I can recruit them. So how did you end up in education in the first place?
That's an interesting story. I actually graduated with a degree in technical writing, and my first job was at a company in Nashville. And I was, when I say an editor, not the kind of editor that some people think, like I didn't have a high-up role. I was editing what some of the engineers had written. And so they kept making the same errors. And I went to my supervisor and said, could I possibly have some time? Because there are some simple concepts that I'm having to correct every day.
Over and over.
I'm getting this all the time. And could I just teach them a few little grammatical concepts? Because when you're dealing with technical writing, just a small tweak can change the meaning. Mm-hmm. And we were writing safety manuals for Dow Chemicals.
Okay.
And I was very nervous. Those prepositions have to be right.
Correct.
Right?
That's important.
Yeah,
that's
we don't
correct.
Want somebody to my first thing that I always put was turn off all the power to the machine.
Okay.
So that was my first on my template.
Okay.
And so he said yes, which was actually ended up being a mistake for him because they gave me a couple days to work with these guys, and I made this presentation. And so many of them came up and said, you're really good at this. I've never understood this before. And I thought, I had so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much more fun to get up and teach someone than it is to grade papers all day, which is basically what I was doing. I was an editor, but it was like grading papers all
right,
day.
Right.
And that was not fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually decided while I was at that job, I'm going back to get certified to teach because I don't like this. I don't like sitting here. I felt like I was being punished because I was grading papers all day. Now, if
and
I
nothing
had,
else.
Yes. If I had been more patient, I probably would have worked up in time to where I was writing things. But I went back and was certified to teach. And I think that's what I was meant to do because one of my friends told me one time, she said, you're always playing teacher. At a birthday party, I had stopped to teach some little girls how to do some activity they were doing, some craft. And she said, I was watching you. She said, you are just a teacher all the time. And so I thought, I think that's really true.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's true. That's just who I am as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So
along the way, was there anybody who influenced you or did you have a favorite teacher growing up or somebody? Was there anybody who told you, I wish you would be a teacher? Did you ever get that early? Because I'm always after teachers to say, to pick out those people that have that skill set and that personality and say, you're great at this. You should be a teacher.
Actually, I had my English teacher in high school tell me that I should teach English because I liked to write. But at the time, you're young and you're in
mm-hmm.
high school, and I thought, I don't want to do that. I want to do something cool.
Yeah.
I want to be able to go be a writer and, didn't want to listen to her.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you that Betty Bly, who was my math teacher, influenced me more than anyone because I was not good at math. But she absolutely just said, oh, yes, you are. And if I don't think we could do this these days. But then whenever you took a test, if you didn't have it corrected before the next test, you didn't get to take the test. You would get
okay.
a zero. I think we would get all kinds of pushback if we tried that today. But
you needed to fix it.
You had to go through and sit down with her and
sure.
fix it. And so you weren't allowed to just take whatever grade it was.
Okay.
You had to fix that with her and understand how it works.
Mm.
And I think that was something that I've carried with me all along, that it's not so much even on an essay, like, okay, you've written an essay and I'm giving you this grade and we're finished. Mm-hmm. That's not what matters. What matters is the journey along the way and how much did I teach you. Mm-hmm. And so if letting you go back and revise and get better at this and you get a better grade, but you learned, that's what's important. Mm-hmm. And so I've carried her example all the way through because that woman dragged me through all those high-level math classes because I'm not a math person, but I didn't know for sure what I wanted to do with my life, and I didn't want to limit myself. Mm-hmm. So I took all the hard math, and now I look back and think, I didn't have to do that. But yeah. but yeah. I did it because I was afraid that I would go to college and want to do something that I would need it. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. she dragged me through. Mm-hmm. So I credit Betty Bly completely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For that challenge. And it's always fun to hear those stories. And so did you find yourself – fast forward to your days in the classroom, did you find yourself kind of channeling some of those things where you feel like you're just dragging a student along? Because, I mean, I know in my English class, you know, it might have been second language for me. Just trying to learn the mechanics and the correct parts, there were days that I felt like my teacher was dragging me along. But she was there for me, and she supported me with some tough love. But, you know, she was always pulling me along.
Well, 100%. I think I emulated her a great deal. I actually had a dad who came one time to open house, and he said to me, "You don't happen to be from Birdstown, are you?" And I said, "Actually, I am. Why?" And he said, "My son comes home and talks about some of the things you're making him do, and it sounds like my old math teacher." And I said, "Miss Bly?"
Yes.
And he said, "Yes." And I said, "That's who I'm emulating."
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, I recognized it because I thought I've had this before." Mm-hmm. But I've always told students, no one who did all the work has ever failed my class. If you do all the work for me, you're not going to fail. I will not let you. Mm-hmm. The only time that I'm going to let you fail is if you just don't try yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so absolutely, I've had kids who come up and would meet with me every extra time they had, and I'm like, this kid is not failing because I'm going to drag him through if I have to.
Mm-hmm. That's fun. All right. Well, we're going to take a short break and come back and talk a little more about the importance of literacy.
Okay. Great.
Thank you. Welcome back. We're talking literacy with Miss Vicki Brummett from Cookeville High School, formerly Cookeville High School, Putnam County Schools now.
Yes.
Now, do you travel across the county in your role working with English teachers?
I absolutely do. I visit all the high schools.
Okay.
So, and it, sometimes on one day, the opening day, I visited all three high schools in the same day. So, yeah, I definitely put some mileage on my car.
Okay. So day to day, what does that look like for you? Are you always on the road, or do you spend some days, you know, 1 week you'll be all at CHS working with teachers? I mean, what does that look like? Because I know what it looks like for a typical classroom teacher.
My days are never the same, almost.
Okay.
I have to live by my calendar. I might have a teacher call me and say, "Can you please come? I'm having this issue. I don't know what to do about it." It could be her technology. It could be something about some content. It could have a student. And I'm changing my day on what I plan to do, and I'm going there. Or I might have gotten some data back, and I need to go see this teacher. Or the other day, I had a teacher who's changed levels, and she said, "Can you find me a book? We don't have a teacher's textbook. And mm-hmm. I went and searched until I could find a teacher's textbook and ran it to her. Every day is different what I'm doing and what it looks like. Today, I was doing in-service from 8 to 3 today.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, it's a 10 o'clock day, and I'm going to be going and visiting some new teachers and just saying, "How are you feeling?"
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that's interesting about what I do is every day looks different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It just depends on what the need is.
Yeah. And is it something, I typically ask this question for principal or director of schools, is it a role that you ever envisioned yourself being in? I mean, is it something that you thought, someday I'll be the troubleshooter of literacy in secondary classrooms?
Actually, no, because like I said, I loved being in the classroom. And so I was never someone who thought, "Oh, I've got this ambition that I want to work out of the central office or I want to do this." I was happy.
Mm-hmm.
We played a game one time at church where you had to guess what your spouse would say.
Okay.
And they said, "What is your spouse's dream job?" And we wrote it, and my husband wrote down, "She's doing it." And I wrote, "I'm doing it." And
yeah.
And I know that doesn't sound exciting, but I loved teaching. So I didn't really envision it, but at the end of my career, I mean, that time period, I thought, okay, I've influenced a lot of kids. Now, before I retire, I want to take what I've learned in these 30 years and pour it into as many teachers as I can so that I don't take it with me when I go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think there's been so many great teachers that I've had before me, and I thought, wouldn't it be great if they could have poured everything they knew into me?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of my goal is I don't want to take it with me when I retire. I want there to be people who are in my footsteps and say, you know, I can do just as much as Miss Brahma did.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of the things that I think can be difficult to teach to a new teacher, that collaborative nature. I think it's so valuable that you see other classrooms. And, I mean, I think there's value in a practicing teacher of 10 years going and spending some time in other teachers' classrooms, because you can kind of get caught up in your own little world teaching the way that you like to teach. And, you know, it may be successful, maybe not, but most of us are always willing to learn if there's a pathway or an opportunity. So, I mean, I see the role that you're in as a facilitator of that. And I imagine there are moments where those teachers are like, oh, that's a great idea. I haven't thought about that. Or that's, you know, a teacher that's just one classroom away is teaching it that way, and then you've just got the opportunity. You've seen them all, and so you can explain that and help them understand the strategies and concepts and different ways of teaching.
And I think that years ago, going and watching someone else, they felt like was a punishment. Like, I'm in trouble, so mm-hmm. they're making me watch this person. And that is not the attitude anymore. Now, and I always say this to my teachers, go steal. Mm-hmm. Go watch Miss Jones or Miss Smith or whatever, and what you see there that you can take back to your classroom, steal her ideas. Mm-hmm. We're not going to watch someone because you're doing poorly and they're doing well. Mm-hmm. It's let's go see what we can steal. What good ideas mm-hmm. can we steal and apply in our classroom? And just today during our PLC, that's one of the things that I said is try to pair with someone who doesn't think like you.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though I've taught for 30 years, if I'm with someone who thinks differently than I do, they're going to think of things I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is one of the best. That's where the magic comes in. Before I left the classroom, Dawn Nicholson and I would, on Sunday evenings, I would be in my house and she would be her house, and we would do a shared doc, and we would throw ideas back and forth at each other. I think that was the best thing we ever did, because we could think enough alike that we didn't make each other crazy, but she was very organized and I was the big idea person. And so I would say, we're going to do this project. We're going to make them do this and we're going to make them do that. And then they're going to have this great product. And she would say, okay, now let's back that out and map it out. How are we going to get them there? And I'm like, oh, that's not the fun part. But I think
the details. That's
yes,
the details.
Exactly. But when you get someone who has the big ideas and you pair them with a person who's really organized, that's when magic happens, because I think we did some great work together, because the two of us, we worked together and come up with this great plan that mm-hmm. I was really proud of.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to me, that's a pitch. That's 30-second elevator pitch for PLCs.
Yes.
Professional learning communities, I think is the term that we use
yes.
these days. And that can be a hard sell to some teachers who are just busy. You know, I'm busy. I don't have time to sit down and talk about, you know, that thing with these other teachers. But to me, it is valuable if it's sold and set up properly to the teachers. I think there's value in it.
Oh, 100%. John Hattie ranks that as the most effective strategy that we can use. It goes above smaller class size. When I say that, teachers always look at me like, what? It's ranked higher than smaller class size. All these other strategies do not have as much of a payoff as a group of teachers who together believe they can make changes in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell them that as my role, I always believe that there's no app, there's no book, there's no curriculum that can do as much as a good teacher. And so I want them to believe that we can come up together and we can come up with ways that we are going to move these kids where they want to be moved or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
it's 100% the most effective thing that they can do. And I love it when I see them working together. And maybe a young teacher has some idea that's really creative or something that's technology based, and the older teacher has all this wisdom, and they get together and they come up with something fabulous. So mm-hmm. it's extremely valuable.
Mm-hmm. And I do think that over time, that is a thing that has evolved, at least in Putnam County, I can speak to, it has evolved that was different than when we started in education.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, it really was more of a, you know, shut your door, almost even a competitive environment in terms of you accomplishing what you want to accomplish with those kids with your door closed and not sharing, you
right.
know.
Right. And I think that we are doing really well of changing that mindset mm-hmm. that we share to make each other stronger and that there's not the competition. I always say that we're like doctors, like when we share data, I would try to tell my teacher, I want you to remember a doctor, when they take your temperature, does not say, oh my goodness, I hope I don't see a temperature. They're using that to diagnose you. Mm-hmm. So when we get together and we're comparing things, I don't want anyone to feel like, oh my goodness, my kids have a fever. We want to use that information when we're looking at things to say, okay, now we've got the diagnosis. What are we going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
So there's no room for competitiveness mm-hmm. unless we're competing against other districts, and then I'm all
yeah.
for that.
yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, let's take a short break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about literacy.
Okay, great.
Welcome back. We're talking literacy with Miss Vicki Brummett from Cookeville High School, formerly Cookeville High School, Putnam County Schools now.
Yes.
Now, do you travel across the county in your role working with English teachers?
I absolutely do. I visit all the high schools.
Okay.
So, and it, sometimes on one day, I'm
okay.
The opening day, I visited all three high schools in the same day. So, yeah, I definitely put some mileage on my car.
Okay. So day to day, just so what does that look like for you? Are you always on the road, or do you spend some days, you know, 1 week you'll be all at CHS working with teachers? I mean, what does that look like? Because I know what it looks like for a typical classroom teacher.
My days are never the same,
okay.
almost. I have to live by my calendar. I might have a teacher call me and say, can you please come? I'm having this issue. I don't know what to do about it. It could be her technology. It could be something about some content. It could have a student. And I'm changing my day on what I plan to do, and I'm going there. Or I might have gotten some data back, and I need to go see this teacher. Or the other day, I had a teacher who's changed levels, and she said, can you find me a book? We don't have a teacher's textbook. And mm-hmm. I went and searched until I could find a teacher's textbook and ran it to her. Every day is different what I'm doing and what it looks like. Today, I was doing in-service from 8 to 3 today.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, it's the 10 o'clock day, and I'm going to be going and visiting some new teachers and just saying, how are you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that's interesting about what I do is every day looks different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It just depends on what the need is.
Yeah. And is it something, I typically ask this question for principal or director of schools, is it a role that you ever envisioned yourself being in? I mean, is it something that you thought, someday I'll be the troubleshooter of literacy in secondary classrooms?
Actually, no, because like I said, I loved being in the classroom. And so I was never someone who thought, oh, I've got this ambition that I want to work out of the central office or I want to do this. I was happy.
Mm-hmm.
We played a game one time at church where you had to guess what your spouse would say.
Okay.
And they said, what is your spouse's dream job? And we wrote it, and my husband wrote down, she's doing it. And I wrote, I'm doing it. And
yeah.
And I know that doesn't sound exciting, but I loved teaching. So I didn't really envision it. But at the end of my career, I mean, that time period, I thought, okay, I've influenced a lot of kids. Now, before I retire, I want to take what I've learned in these 30 years and pour it into as many teachers as I can so that I don't take it with me when I go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think there's been so many great teachers that I've had before me, and I thought, wouldn't it be great if they could have poured everything they knew into me?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of my goal is I don't want to take it with me when I retire. I want there to be people who are in my footsteps and say, you know, I can do just as much as Ms. Brummett did.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of the things that I think can be difficult to teach to a new teacher that collaborative nature. I think it's so valuable that you see other classrooms. And I mean, I think there's value in a practicing teacher of 10 years going and spending some time in other teachers' classrooms, because you can kind of get caught up in your own little world teaching the way that you like to teach. And, you know, it may be successful, maybe not, but most of us are always willing to learn if there's a pathway or an opportunity. So, I mean, I see the role that you're in as a facilitator of that. And I imagine there are moments where those teachers are like, oh, that's a great idea. I haven't thought about that. Or that's, you know, a teacher that's just one classroom away is teaching it that way. And then you've just got the opportunity. You've seen them all. And so you can explain that and help them understand the strategies and concepts and different ways of teaching.
And I think that years ago, going and watching someone else, they felt like was a punishment. Like, I'm in trouble, so mm-hmm. they're making me watch this person. And that is not the attitude anymore. Now, and I always say this to my teachers, go steal. Mm-hmm. Go watch Miss Jones or Miss Smith or whatever. And what you see there that you can take back to your classroom, steal her ideas. Mm-hmm. We're not going to watch someone because you're doing poorly and they're doing well. Mm-hmm. It's let's go see what we can steal. What good ideas mm-hmm. can we steal and apply in our classroom? And just today during our PLC, that's one of the things that I said is try to pair with someone who doesn't think like you. Mm-hmm. Because even though I've taught for 30 years, if I'm with someone who thinks differently than I do, they're going to think of things I don't. Mm-hmm. And I think that is one of the best, that's where the magic comes in. Before I left the classroom, Dawn Nicholson and I would, on Sunday evenings, I would be in my house and she would be her house, and we would do a shared doc, and we would throw ideas back and forth at each other. I think that was the best thing we ever did, because we could think enough alike that we didn't make each other crazy, but she was very organized and I was the big idea person. And so I would say, we're going to do this project. We're going to make them do this and we're going to make them do that. And then they're going to have this great product. And she would say, okay, now let's back that out and map it out. How are we going to get them there? And I'm like, oh, that's not the fun part. But I think
the details.
Yes, exactly. But when you get someone who has the big ideas and you pair them with a person who's really organized, that's when magic happens, because I think we did some great work together, because the two of us, we worked together and come up with this great plan that mm-hmm. I was really proud of.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to me, that's a pitch. That's 30-second elevator pitch for PLCs.
Yes.
Professional learning communities, I think is the term that we use
yes.
these days. And that can be a hard sell to some teachers who are just busy. You know, I'm busy. I don't have time to sit down and talk about, you know, that thing with these other teachers. But to me, it is valuable if it's sold and set up properly to the teachers. I think there's value in it.
Oh, 100%. John Hattie ranks that as the most effective strategy that we can use. It goes above smaller class size. When I say that, teachers always look at me like, what? It's ranked higher than smaller class size. All these other strategies do not have as much of a payoff as a group of teachers who together believe they can make changes in the school. Mm-hmm. And I always tell them that as my role, I always believe that there's no app, there's no book, there's no curriculum that can do as much as a good teacher. And so I want them to believe that we can come up together and we can come up with ways that we are going to move these kids where they want to be moved or not. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. it's 100% the most effective thing that they can do. And I love it when I see them working together. And maybe a young teacher has some idea that's really creative or something that's technology-based, and the older teacher has all this wisdom, and they get together, and they come up with something fabulous. So mm-hmm. it's extremely valuable.
Mm-hmm. And I do think that over time, that is a thing that has evolved, at least in Putnam County, I can speak to, it has evolved that was different than when we started in education.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, it really was more of a, you know, shut your door, almost even a competitive environment in terms of you accomplishing what you want to accomplish with those kids with your door closed and not sharing, you know?
And I think that we are doing really well of changing that mindset mm-hmm. that we share to make each other stronger. and that there's not the competition. I always say that we're like doctors. Like when we share data, I would try to tell my teacher, I want you to remember, a doctor, when they take your temperature, does not say, oh my goodness, I hope I don't see a temperature. They're using that to diagnose you. Mm-hmm. So when we get together and we're comparing things, I don't want anyone to feel like, oh my goodness, my kids have a fever. We want to use that information when we're looking at things to say, okay, now we've got the diagnosis. What are we going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
So there's no room for competitiveness mm-hmm. unless we're competing against other districts, and then I'm all for that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's take a short break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about literacy.
Okay.